Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to Stynie, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, no Darryl the Guru Johnson today. Whitey Gleason in for him. And Dan Dibley and Matt Steinmetz also with you. And we're talking about James Wiseman, 19-year-old, 7'1", number two overall pick in the draft. And the Warriors have started training camp. And I was looking on the text line because we're trying to talk about his expectations, et cetera. And, you know, you think about Curry getting drafted and Clay. The 650 says Chris Webber was the last high pick that came with this high of expectations, which I think is kind of interesting. I mean, look, when Steph Curry came into the league and was drafted seven, nobody was like, could this guy be a superstar and lead your franchise to greatness? I don't think he had those expectations. Joe Smith back in the day was the number one pick in 95. He had obviously high expectations. I remember a player named Anthony Randolph, who the Warriors picked, and Don Nelson talked him up until the day is long, and he had high expectations, and that ended up hurting him. So I do think Wiseman's got – nobody's saying the expectations must be fulfilled yesterday, but I do think there's high expectations for Wiseman, more so than, I don't know, anybody on the current roster?
Yeah, and the last time they picked in the top three was Mike Dunleavy. And to your point, even when they took Mike Dunleavy, it wasn't like, okay, we got Dunleavy. It's our franchise is set now. We're a playoff team, and he's a Hall of Famer. Dunleavy was a good player, and he turned out to have a good pro career, but he was overdrafted at number three. And to your point, even – you know, the Harrison Barnes selection, which was a top seven, he wasn't seen as a guy who was going to come in and, quote, change the franchise. And Jason Richardson, when he was taken at five, you thought, okay, good player, athletic, but you didn't expect him to be the next Michael Jordan. So there is lofty expectations for James Wiseman, not only because the fact that he was drafted number two, the fact that this Warrior team is looking to prolong this run. We're in the middle of a pandemic, but also the fact that Whitey, he's such an unknown commodity. He's a 7'1" freak of nature with a 7'7" wingspan, but we haven't seen him. So our brains, if we're a positive thinking person, it's like, this guy is going to be the next big thing. You know, is he going to be Lamar Odom or Greg Oden or somewhere in between?
That's why I get concerned. You mentioned the high expectations. Obviously, we know the expectations are high. I'm just not sure they're entirely fair. And the Warriors have high hopes for him. But I just think as we compare him to other players whom the Warriors and other teams have taken high in the draft, compare him to other players the 49ers have taken, I think a lot of these comparisons, in my opinion, are not entirely fair because he's just he's so underdeveloped still. He's still so raw. And there are legitimate questions about his ability defensively to guard guys on switches. There are questions about still his shooting, and there are indications he could be a good shooter. There are indications he may not be. And that applies to a lot of his game right now. So he's far from being anywhere near as finished a product as C-Webb was. And obviously all young players have a lot of development. In his case, I think there's a lot to learn still. What did he play last year? 69 minutes?
Yeah, roughly.
Total?
Yeah. And so those were November, December minutes, too, not like March minutes, to your point.
Right, good point. So, yeah, that's why I just cringe a little bit at the expectations. They're understandable, but I'm not sure they're entirely fair, and I hope Warrior fans aren't setting themselves up for disappointment, and I hope they're not setting Wiseman up for, you know, a lot of dissatisfaction early.
And that's where you start to lose me, Whitey, when you start throwing around the F word, because to me, if
which word?
The F word, Whitey. It's a four-letter F word. Fair. That's not fair. I don't think it's fair. You know what? If you don't feel like it's fair, stay in school, kids. Nobody forced you to come out and enter the draft. I mean, you played three games in college. If you wanted more seasoning, if you wanted to be able to, I don't know, take the ball and learn offensively how to score at the NCAA level, you had an opportunity to play three more, dare I say, four more years. He could have gotten himself a red shirt for last year's small cup of coffee. So he could have stayed four more years and come out as a 23, a 24-year-old. So to me, the idea of, quote, fairness is taken off the table. You're in the league. You're in the association. It's big boy time. Now, no one's expecting you to go out and go 23 and 15. But, you know, don't tell me that it's not, quote, fair because he entered the league of his own volition.
Sure. I'm not talking about what's fair to him. I'm talking about what's realistic. And fans, I think, could be setting themselves up for disappointment if they get too carried away with the expectations. I'm not saying, oh, poor James, it's not fair. You should give him time. He's getting his money. Let's mention Jerry Maguire earlier. Show me the money. Yeah. He's going to be
Listen. I don't think it's unfair to think James Wiseman, what would you like? Give me a five-time All-Star. How about that? I think that's fair for the number. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because I'm amused by how optimistic your projection is. I'm not saying you're wrong. That would be tremendous.
But why shouldn't he? If he has, you know, and I guess we're going to find out about the Warriors' development here and whether that's how real that is. I don't know if this guy's a freakish talent and he's a great kid. And he's a hard worker, and he's got potential, and he's in the Warriors. Well, how couldn't he succeed at if he's got it all?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And if he's
and
if he doesn't end up that kind of player, one of two things happen: he never could have become that kind of player, and that's on the Warriors, or he kind of was that kind of player, but the Warriors, I don't know, couldn't get it out of him. It's very fascinating, though. I will say that.
I think five All-Stars is a fair number.
I
know
too,
we've got
Dibs.
Tons
Thank
of
you.
Callers, 888-957-9570, people queuing up to say who their comp is on the Niners' D-line. Did you mention that Bosch went to 10 All-Star games? Is that right?
I said 11, but...
Okay, 11. I just quickly glanced at DeAndre Jordan. How many All-Star games do you think he's made, DeAndre Jordan?
I'm going to say two.
Kyle says one. Steiny, two. Whitey, any guesses?
Never.
The correct answer is three. Three-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA defensive team. Three-time, actually, All-NBA, one-time All-Star. So if you look at, like, where you'd want the range to be, we all want him to be better than DeAndre Jordan. And if he is as good as Chris Bosh, then the Warriors have found something. So five All-Stars would be kind of right in between the two.
Yeah, I think, hey, Whitey, you know what? To your point, because now I see it better now, because you look at a guy like DeAndre Jordan, and my first thought was, well, he better be better than DeAndre Jordan. Well, DeAndre Jordan's a three-time All-Star, and like Dan said,
actually, one-time All-Star, Steiny.
Okay, one-time
three-time All-NBA, one-time All-Star, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess that's the way that goes.
Yeah, I'd hope he'd be a little better than DeAndre Jordan. Mm-hmm. But you're right. DeAndre Jordan is nobody to scoff at. All right, let's go out. Let's hear from some people. Let's go to Ben. Ben's in Berkeley. What's going on, Ben? How you doing, man?
Doing very well. You know, when I think of this Wiseman guy and we compare him to football players, I like to compare him to Jamarcus Russell, you know, and the way Davis said, Jamarcus Russell's a great player. Get over it. You know, Bob Myers is going to say the same thing about Wiseman when everyone's booing him. He's like, he's a great player. Get over it, people. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a hard, especially when the fans start booing this guy. You know, we're expecting the fans to be all nice. And, yay, Wiseman, we love you. You wait till they start booing this guy and start calling the shows, going, you know, he's not the true, he's not the true warrior from the, you know, he's not the Dub Nation. You know, it's going to happen so fast for this guy. And let me get this straight. We listen to Penny Hardaway's sell this guy. This guy gave Wiseman money to come to his school. Of course he's going to prop him up as the best thing since sliced bread because it makes him look better. What's he going to say? Oh, I wouldn't take this kid. He's played a lot of development. He's a lot of work.
Is this Dave again? Is this Dave again?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Dave, you little, you know what? You know, I guess that's my, well, it's not, I should catch that early, but what how about this? I'll spend 30 seconds on this guy. What's his problem? I mean, seriously, what is he, like, where does that anger come from that he's so adamant about James Wiseman being lousy? Like, how does, not even me at my arrogant most would say he's never going to be any good, because nobody knows. Dibs, where does something like that come from in a man?
Can I give you guys a comp that was from this is from November 18th, an NBA comp by Eric Fawcett, NBA.com, and just see what you think of this comp for Wiseman, okay? This is just a writer, and sure, it's a Wiseman scouting report, and then he has a comp for Wiseman. He says, you know, strengths, weaknesses, and you scroll down here. NBA comparison, Hassan Whiteside. How would you be with that if Wiseman ends up being Hassan Whiteside?
I'd like him to be better than Hassan Whiteside.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hassan Whiteside is a good player. I would put Whiteside in the Andre Drummond category of ferocious player, good rebounder, limited scorer, effective NBA player, legitimate starter rotation player, but I think you're hoping for Wiseman to be a little bit better than the – and do you think that's fair, Whiteside and Andre Drummond, Whiteside, would you put them in the same bailiwick, Steiny?
Drummond puts up better numbers. I don't want any part of Whiteside. And you know what? As good a numbers as Drummond puts up, I wonder if he'd be good. You know, if Wiseman's Drummond, is that good enough? That's, you know, that's another thing. But anyway, one thing we're talking about at 888-957-9570 is we're talking about James Wiseman's rookie season and the expectations on James Wiseman, the 7-1 player out of Memphis. And we just are making some comparisons between him and some 49er draft picks, Bosa and Solomon Thomas, Kinlaw, Armstead, and Buckner. Is there a comparison to be made? What if Wiseman's Bosa? That's great. What if he's Solomon Thomas? Uh-oh. What if he's Kinlaw? Okay. You know, so we're having some fun with that today. Kyle, I think you were going to jump in there.
Yeah, I have some beef with the Hassan Whiteside kind of trash talk there. I think Hassan Whiteside, the issue with him is more his, like, demeanor or his personality.
Motor.
He's at 14-7, 12-5, and 2.5 blocks over the last 5 years. Like, the Warriors would absolutely take a guy that's putting up 15, 13, and almost 3 blocks a game.
Not – how many years has Whiteside been in the league?
Looks like 7-8.
Okay.
He's played 8 seasons.
And if he's Hassan – if Wiseman's – Hassan
Whiteside.
Oh,
you mean over his whole career. Okay, I got you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If he could be given those numbers this year, that would be unrealistic in my mind. That's where I kind of am with Whitey, but who knows. Javier is in Vacaville.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to talking to Javier after my pickup of the last phone. What's up,
Javier? Shake that off.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing today?
Dynamite.
Hey, Javier.
All right, so what's the one thing that the Warriors typically have that they're lacking this year? Obviously not a player. I'm talking about skill set, a strength that they're lacking this year. I just want to know. And then I have, you know, practical answers responded. I'll know what to say back. I want to see what you guys think.
I would say shooting.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Winner. Shooting. So the Warriors
Thanks, Javier.
Have – no. Well, my question – okay, I mean, I guess that's funny. But I'm saying the thing with the Warriors – lack is shooting. So Klay Thompson's out. Andrew Wiggins is some perennial, I wouldn't say bust, but he's definitely an underperforming player. I'm okay. Still going to pitch the notion. I don't understand why Mr. Simon says not like Buddy Hield and Golden State. Best sixth man of the year, and he'll be starting. Klay coming back until that actually happens. Put Uber to three. The salaries match. He's throwing Bielitsa from Sacramento, expiring dude, who also shoots 40% from three. Wiggins, 25-year-old athletic, lengthy guy that's rangy.
Okay.
You know, exactly what the Kings want, athleticism. Why not?
Who are you giving up for Buddy Hield? Who would you give up?
Wiggins and the future first, if needed, for Buddy Hield and Nemanja Bjelica. Both teams get what they want. The Kings get younger, length, athleticism, and just a overall more prominent player potential. The Warriors get a three-point shooter that's lights out from three, three-point competition winner, 40% right, from
let
three.
Me, no, I got you. Thanks, Javi. Appreciate it. Whitey, why don't you go first on that one? Buddy Hield.
Yeah, I just don't. I think the owner in Sacramento is a big Buddy Hield fan. I personally am not a big fan of Buddy Hield's game, but I just don't, you know, I don't think we need to spend too much time on that because I just think it's very unlikely that Sacramento is going to want to part company with Buddy Hield, who they may see, they're paying him a lot of money. They may see him as kind of a foundational piece there.
Well, and also, I guess the theory is that maybe he and Luke Walton aren't on the same page because Luke Walton started bringing Buddy Hield in off the bench. I'd be scared of Buddy Hield.
Yeah, me
just,
too.
Jonathan, San Francisco, you'd love for Wiseman to be your guy, huh? Who would you like to see Wiseman be?
Hey, I would love if he turns out to be a Buckner. You know, first year, you know, show flashes and, you know, just be able to do the minimum. I mean, he's 7'1", with a 7'6 wingspan. He should be able to do, you know, the putbacks and alley-oops and maybe block a shot here and there. If you can't do that in year 7-1, what's the good, you know, having that all that height? And so you do the minimum this year and kind of build on that next year, and hopefully by year 3, you're a good, very good player to, you know, being great. But listen, man, if he becomes a player and Pascal and Chris and the other young guys continue to build on what they learned in the past and then another draft pick of a good player next year. Hey, this year is about finding out what they are, right? But yep, this is a building block for the future. I mean, I don't expect them to go at it this year. I expect them to find out who they are next year, that we find out what are they going to be in the future. So if Wiseman becomes a player, and from what I hear, it's going to be a deep draft for next year, and they got a high draft pick, hopefully they get another player. So now you got two players that hopefully be a building block for the future. Hey, 2021, 2022 Warriors is where I expect them to go for another ring before the core three is done.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate the call. You know what's funny is I think there's a chance the Warriors could do that, but I see it happening much differently. And this is what – this is kind of – Whitey started to bring this up yesterday. All right. So Bob Myers called Houston about James Harden, right? And nothing happened, and some people were like, oh, my God, and who knows what the discussion was. But what we do know is Joe Lacob probably is open-minded to bringing in James Harden because Joe Lacob is open-minded to bringing in a superstar. He's already thinking of the next Kevin Durant, all right? And so that guy, the dream was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, the funny thing is he hasn't signed his max deal yet, guys. But but anyway, whenever we talked about Warriors making a move for Giannis, it wasn't realistic because they didn't have anything worthwhile to trade. And that's where I'm with Jonathan, and that's where I could see this team coming right back. And here's how. You've got to develop the younger players by the end of the year. But if the end of the year you're like, damn, Wiseman's going to be pretty good, and you're like, Pascal is a starter in the NBA, and maybe even at that point, you know, Oubre's, Oubre's really solid. And you have Minnesota's pick, and you have your pick. Now the Warriors all of a sudden at the end of this year have assets, big-time assets. And now you can theoretically use a Wiseman or you know, use Pascal because now Pascal's put together two really good years and another team's a like, to me, that's how the Warriors are going to get their next big free agent. I think that's more likely to happen than they make a couple good draft picks and Poole turns out to be good and they're good in 3 years. That's just me.
And it's critical for those players underneath and even, like you said, Poole, and if you mentioned Nico Mannion, and if Smiley Geach, if he shows that maybe he's only a year or two away from being an actual contributor, then it becomes a situation where the bottom of your roster is strong enough to where maybe you can trade someone like Draymond. If Pascal's ready to step in and be Draymond-esque, maybe not be the same ball handler, but provide sturdy defense and be a good power forward, then maybe Draymond comes a piece that you could possibly spin off, or Wiggins becomes tradable. Some of these big contracts, if you have players underneath ready to step up and take that role.
We know that the Warrior front office, they're playing chess, not checkers. So, Steiny, I'm sure they've thought of that. I think that's a brilliant point as the Warriors look at their assets and try to figure out what we have now. How can we convert that if we need to, or if we get the opportunity to, I should say, to Giannis. We touched on this yesterday. There's a handful of other teams that are also, they're trying to get ready for making a run at Giannis if that opportunity presents itself. Toronto, Dallas, Miami, I think the Knicks, a lot of these teams were reluctant to hand out multi-year deals because they want to have cap space available if Giannis becomes available. So, yeah, how much Giannis wants to come to the Warriors has a lot to do with it, but there's every reason to think there are some other attractive opportunities for him. Dibs, real quick, one more note on Wiseman. You talked about Draymond Green and how adept he is when it comes to passing ball, handling the ball. This is my thing on Wiseman. I don't see him as being a real big offensive player, and we'll see. We don't know that much about him. But especially in the Warrior offense, I see him as more of what we mentioned, Whiteside and DeAndre Jordan. I think he projects as a big-time defender, but maybe not a good offensive player. Last year we mentioned 69 minutes at Memphis. Do you guys want to guess how many assists he had in 69 minutes at Memphis?
Not five, not six, not seven. I'm going to put it at four, Whitey.
Four? Steiny, you got a guess?
Clearly, it's not many.
Yeah. He had an assist.
Yeah.
Wiseman played 69 minutes.
But he thread the needle, Whitey.
He totaled one assist, doesn't project as a center who'll be facilitating from the post. That's according to Bleacher Report. Of course, some of these scatter reports are based on, small sample size. I know there's video of Wiseman, out in the open floor, throwing a really nice bounce pass. So that's another area in which we'll just have to see. That, I think, is my issue with Wiseman. I don't see him necessarily as being a big scorer. Maybe he will be more like Bosch. To me, I see him more as we said, a Whiteside or DeAndre Jordan type. But we'll just have to see how
but
he fits in.
And I love projections with a 19-year-old who played 67 minutes. It's my favorite. It's like on election night when the polls close at 4 o'clock Pacific, and they've called Vermont. You've counted 29 votes. Even if it's 29-0 for candidate A, we're already calling it, and that's kind of where we're projecting why. Oh, Wiseman will never have more than one assist a game. I guarantee that based on what I've seen. He's only averaging 0.3 assists a contest, Steiny.
It's a big 0.3, though. It's a big 0.3. When I look at the Warriors, and it's one of those things, and I mean this, like over time, you get more of a feeling, and as time's moving on, I'm actually becoming more optimistic about the Warriors' chances. Not necessarily this year, but just the opportunity to stay at or near the top. And, I keep thinking about these young players, and it's like, why is Miami theoretically in the running for Antetokounmpo? Well, because they got about five guys on their roster who are young and pretty good and on nice deals. Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn. Obviously, Adebayo got paid a little bit. But
yes, he did.
Can you imagine if at the end of this year the Warriors are sitting with a 7'1", 20-year-old that is clearly going to be a starter. Clearly. Going to be a starter in the NBA. And then Pascal has another year. Maybe he wins sixth man of the year, Pascal. He just comes in and is like the forward version of Vinnie Johnson. I mean, the kid was scoring. Give him that. And that's the way by the end of the year, now you have pieces. And it can happen that fast, going from no pieces to having a few pieces. And you know what? We laugh at Jordan Poole. Heck, Jordan Poole might be a piece if he shows over the course of the year that he can play in a way, Whitey.
Yes.
He's down on Poole. Whitey's a Poole hater.
Listen, I'm not.
No,
I don't
have
think
leaves. I have
I'm
leaves
down
in my
on
pool.
Pool.
I'm sorry.
Too.
That's I have leaves in my pool, so I was shaking my head. That's all. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm down on Poole too. All right. I'm worried he's not going to be a factor. But
Warriors
I'm just
are high
saying,
on him. The Warriors are much higher on him. They like all the offseason work he put in.
Yeah, they were high on Jacob Evans, too. But what I'm saying is maybe you find out by the end of this year that Jordan Poole can play a little bit, and he becomes an asset. You know, that's what I think the Warriors' goal is this year, is to by the end of the year have as many assets as possible. And I mean, think of Giannis. What if he doesn't? I mean, look, he's got about, what, 2.5 weeks? They think he's probably going to sign it. I'm starting to think he might not, to tell you the truth. I don't know why. Dibs?
Why would you in this uncertain time where you're going to get paid no matter what? No sense in rushing out there. And just to give you an idea of the Jordan Poole stat line, just a brief run through how it started. And I thought that he was thrown in so far ahead of his readiness, and the numbers will back it up.
They're
2 for 13, 1 for 9, 4 for 10, 2 for 8, 7 for 13, nice little game and a loss to Sacramento, 2 for 9, 3 for 16, 2 for 11, 3 for 10, 2 for 6, 5 for 11, 4 for 15, 1 for 8, 0 for 7, 2 for 8, 5 for 14. I mean, that's a situation where under normal circumstances, you wouldn't have kept throwing him out there, but you had nobody else. So for me, it's almost like we're going to crumple up that year for the team. We should probably do the same for Jordan Poole, because he was basically, quote unquote, forced to go out there and shoot the ball as many times. And he probably knew that he wasn't feeling it, but the guy's playing 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 31, 27, 25. We're expecting Wiseman to play. Oh, James, we want you to play 12 to 16 protected minutes. They threw Jordan Poole to the wolves.
Yeah, you know
what?
Oh,
my goodness. I'm sorry, Stani, if I may. Yeah, you're the guy that said, yeah, Dibs, you came after me because you said, I don't want to hear about what's fair to Wiseman. And here you are. Oh, poor Jordan Poole. He had to play 30 minutes last year because they weren't very good. What?
I'm saying that because you're the one who said, oh, you're shaking your head at Jordan Poole. Like, oh, Jordan Poole, he's a bum, basically. No, he got exposed as not being ready. And now you're trying to bubble wrap James Wiseman. And fine, bubble wrap away. Let's see what happens if Wiseman has to shoot the ball 12 times a night from the jump in his career. All of a sudden, Jordan Poole would look like a marksman.
Jordan Poole last year, Steiny, to me, looked like a guy that realized, wow, seriously, I'm not making fun. He looked to me like a guy that realized, wow, the line is a little further back in the end.
No doubt.
Especially early in the year. He really struggled with that, and it's understandable. No, it's a much longer shot.
And that's
why. He did end the year 7 for 15, 8 for 14, 5 for 14, 7 for 13, 5 of 9, 4 of 7, 6 of 10. These are games where he started to feel a little bit more comfortable.
He did.
I don't mean to be a pool apologist, but
do you still have his numbers up there?
Yeah.
What was his field goal percentage overall?
Well, over the games I've cherry picked, or over the whole year?
The whole year.
He shot 33% from the floor and 28% from behind the line. But I tell you what, that was a bounce back effort. I got to tell you.
I'll tell you what. I wonder if you could. Hey, Kyle. I don't know how to use these filters and stuff, but when you come to field goals attempted, I wonder if there's ever been a player in the league who has attempted more field goals in a season than Jordan Poole and shot under 33% overall. That's 33% is a very, very, very low overall percentage.
Yeah, and anyway, to your point, he shot the ball 9 times a game, so he would have, quote, qualified. He took 502 field goal attempts, and I've actually looked at some of the worst shooting years in the history of the association as we go around the association, because Kobe Bryant, in his final year, had one of the least efficient years in NBA history. I know we all talk about, what, that 70-point game he had, or he shot the ball like 47 times in that game. Look at some of Kemba Walker's seasons as far as complete launching brick inefficiency. But to your point, even the worst Kemba Walker years, I think, Whitey, were about 37, 38% from the floor.
Yeah, he just really struggled last year. The thing that Jordan Poole did well last year was that he actually showed he could play a little backup point, which I remember when the Warriors, to the point you made earlier, Dibs, it's like, well, someone's got to play backup point. hey, Jordan Poole, you're here. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's not why they brought him here. And he did a halfway decent job. So I think they're very impressed by that. The shooting, you know, they sent him down to Santa Cruz when he came back up. The shooting improved a little bit. So, yeah, I see what you guys are saying. There's some upside there. But he just last year, I shake my head because especially early, he just looked overwhelmed by playing in the NBA and especially that long three-point shot.
And Whitey, oh, go ahead, Kyle, real quick.
Yeah, there have been like 160-plus seasons of guys shooting 500-plus times with a shooting percentage 33% or below.
Who? Just throw a couple at me.
You've got Joe Foulkes in 1946-47.
I bet you we have to go way, way back for most of them. That's feeling.
Yeah, that's 100% what's going on here. Okay. I will continue digging by year. And
I appreciate
that. We'll get that figured out for you.
The basket was much smaller. And, you know, the old peach basket, Whitey, you remember from your early days.
It was like Pop-A-Shot basket, really.
Yeah, you got no shooter's touch off the peach basket.
Tight.
I felt so stupid, Dibs, because I thought, you know, they should put a hole in that thing. But I'm sure someone saw that. I didn't say anything. And then finally someone else says, hey, cut a hole in that thing. You don't have to climb up there on the balcony to get it. And I thought, man, I wish I'd said something sooner.
Yeah, you were so quick with the ladder, though, as I recall, just getting that ladder and be able to get the ball out and, you know, the quick inbound after six steps on the ladder.
I was.
And Whitey. There you go, Dibs. Whitey.
I think I prefer your silence, awkward silence, to your fake laugh.
Yes, Whitey. Mets. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean by Jordan Poole. You know, he was called up, or not called up, but you throw him in and he doesn't look like he's ready. And I couldn't help but think of myself and my high school basketball career. And you would have liked to see something like my sophomore year, for example, at Holy Name High School. So about eight games into the season, you know, I'm playing on the JV team as a sophomore. Mr. Wolf, the coach, comes up to me and he says, I think I'm going to bring you up to varsity.
You're sending Wolf over?
Lloyd Wolf.
That's all you had
coach.
To say, Whitey.
So he comes over and says, I'm going to bring you up on varsity. And he goes, I'm not bringing you up on varsity not to play you. I'm going to play you if you're going to be up there. So, you know, obviously my debut against Allentown Central Catholic, by the way, at historic Rockne Hall in Allentown, your boy, 10 points, 4 assists, was pretty steady. You know, better than Jordan Poole is what I'm saying. So that's why I know, like, that's what you would have liked to have seen. Something like, huh, that little Steinmetz kid, you know, he's a little bit scrawny. You know, hasn't really filled out yet. But you know what? He kid's tough. He's a player. You know what? I think he's going to be okay. That's what you wanted to see from Poole. You wanted to see a rookie year from Poole like you saw a sophomore year in high school from me, it sounds like.
I couldn't have said it any better myself, and I'm glad I didn't try.
So Jordan Poole's year last year at 33.3% on 502 attempts was the first such season since Woody Salisbury did it in 1960-61. So
I mean,
it's very rare, Dibs.
Now let me ask you a question. Let me ask both you guys a question. Your genius topic today about Wiseman and who is he? Who'd you let? Could he be Bosa? Could he be Armstead? Could he be Buckner? Could he be Kinlaw? What I just did, is that as brilliant? Basically saying, you know what, Kyle, look something up. I'll bet this is something crazy. And it was. Don't you see? It was something that had never been done in 60 years, and yet nobody ever thought of Jordan Poole as somebody who might be the worst. He might have put together the singular worst shooting season in 60 years.
Well, we all knew that when we saw it in real time in a season that ended some 8 months ago for one. And for another, the fact that Kyle and I, more accurately me, came up with a real topic for the callers in real time, not having 8 months to prepare and pour over the notes. And by the way, you had to lean on Kyle to confirm what we already knew. He had a bad year. He had an historically bad shooting year.
Well, now you know. Now you can put
historically. We knew before. And the fact that you injected your own little sophomore effort into the conversation only served to water the entire proceedings down.
Whitey, admit it.
I just want to point
it. Did you think it was that bad?
No, and also, well, this is neither here nor there, but actually you were talking about three-point shooting. I think there's more to your question. I thought your question was excellent.
No.
And I think if we break it down further, I think there's even more to that. I remember looking at the numbers last year and wondering about that historically, how much he struggled. But, yeah, I think that's a great point, Steiny. As a student of the history of the game, yes, I applaud you. I thought the story about you, you know, it's somewhat interesting. You and, you know, when Coach Wolf called you up, I didn't see how that applied. I thought that was ultimately unnecessary. Somewhat interesting. Yeah. But, the stats, Jordan Poole, that question, that was brilliant. That was spot
Which
on.
Was more unnecessary, his injection of his sophomore call-up or you coaching Randy Moss, that vignette being told for the 12th time? 888-957-9570, which was the least relevant vignette?
The Moss, I just got in and out. It's like when I coached Randy Moss, boom, and I was out. You know, so
fair point. Fair point. Steiny took us through possession by possession.
I think,
you know, I got that big stop in the third quarter. I looked over and Coach gave me that knowing nod.
Well, first of all, there was an analogy to be made there of two guys being thrown in.
I gotcha. Did the song Allentown, was that out yet? So every time you went to Allentown, was it, hey,
Billy Joel?
Here? Yeah.
Nice.
Was that?
No, but the part I omitted was about, I lasted 8 games and got sent back to JV.
Wow.
There, see, right. I buried the lead. But it made me hungrier. Made me hungrier.
I had a chance preseason, sophomore year. I was working out with the varsity. I did not make the team. I did not play with the varsity that year. So my cap is off to you, sir.
Steiny, I played as a freshman. I was the 12th man on the 12-man team at Casa Grande High School. We won the Sonoma County League title. The next year, there was a grand total of 12 people who went out for the JV team, and the JV coach elected to keep 11, and he made one cut. So there's my basketball background for you.
Dude, how are you not bitter?
Oh, I'm very bitter. And Coach John Walker, rest in peace. We never made amends, never spoke again.
Now, hold on a sec. Dibs, I've seen you shoot, and I know you're, what, 5'8", 5'9", something
I'm
like
atrocious,
that.
But you know what?
No, you're practiced not.
We had practice at 5 a.m., and I showed up every day on time, scrappy, diving into the bleachers.
There's no way you should have been cut. There's no way you should. There's no way you could not make a varsity basketball team in high school.
It was a JV team.
The problem was,
I got cut from JV as a junior, too, but that's neither here nor there.
Dibs did dive into the bleachers, but he did that like pregame. That was the problem. It's like before the game.
The cheerleaders were in the middle of a routine, and I thought that. One of them needed help. That's actually the only time my mom ever called the school on my behalf. She was so outraged.
Wow.
Oh, she called the coach?
He called the principal and said, what kind of a shop are you running here? And he said, I don't know, Mrs. Dibley. Wow. Let's be honest. It's your fourth of four kids. You don't care either.
Let's be honest.
Yikes.
You know what? And Dibs, let me tell you something. When your parents do something like that, you know, you're right. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Unless you're Guru's son and Guru does it 14 times a year. But
I'm different.
You know what I'm saying. I love you, Goo. Love you, Goo. You know it. You know I love you, Goo. All right. This is fun talking about Wiseman, to tell you the truth. You know, the other thing.
I have one more if I could. I'm sorry,
Steiny. Absolutely.
Dibs, what was your NBA comp? Were the NBA player all time that you as a basketball player most closely resembled? Talking about Wiseman and his comps. Yeah.
I think my comp was
Curry!
More like an even angrier Scott Skiles, if you could possibly imagine. But my real comp, it's a movie comp, and it's Ollie from Hoosiers. That's my that's my sports movie comp. Yeah.
Interesting. Whitey?
What, a comp?
No, for me. Ask me. Ask me.
I thought everybody asked you that like 14 times. I thought I've asked you that like 7 times already.
Who's the answer?
It's one of the various Paxsons, Jim Paxson, John Paxson. I'm giving you Paxson status. Nothing more, nothing less.
I'm sorry, Steiny. Yeah, who is it, Steiny? Who do you got?
I tell you what. That's what's coming up after the break.
Great. I won't
I'll tell
here.
You my player comp. I've used 7 different ones over the course of my life. All right. Also, there is one thing going on with the Warriors. I saw the other day about the kind of year they had last year was historic, and it was not too much different of the kind of way that Jordan Poole's year was historic, not in a good way, if you know what I mean. I'll tell you what that is, too, and that's all sponsored by Network Capital Funding. Refi to an interest rate you thought was great at the time but regret it as rates continue to fall. Don't worry. Network Capital will refinance your current loan to a new historic low rate, even if you just refinanced with another lender. Call Network Capital, 800-500-1-HIT.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Welcome back, Matt Steinmetz, Dan Dibley. Whitey Gleason is in for Daryl the Guru Johnson.
And what you eating, Steiny? What you eating today? What's for lunch?
So, well, it's not even lunch. It's an English muffin with a little dollop of cream cheese. And, of course, it's not toasted like I like it because I had to rush back.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, that's one thing that you don't talk about inconvenience. Yeah, you know, people say, oh, Steiny, great radio show. You only work 4 hours. Yeah, but you only get like 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Yeah, you got to. And listen, you know, you get older. You know what I mean? I mean, so there's some things you got to take care of. You know, time stops for no man as they age.
Don't you remember, Steiny, you know? early on here in the early days of this station, the commercial breaks were, I don't know, Dibs, maybe 90 seconds. And
right.
I remember one time I had to, you know, use the facilities, and I had to sprint because it was around the corner. There was an engineer by the name of Phil Hartman, and I almost killed
him.
Yeah, because I was going full speed, and I had I had a lot of momentum going, and I nearly killed him, and I just...
Yeah. Yeah, and by momentum, you mean a bladder full of Diet Pepsi, as I recall, because, you know, you get about
that was propelling
three.
Me, yes, yeah, so there was definitely a sense of urgency.
No doubt.
So 4 minutes, Steiny, that's a luxury compared to the old days of the station.
Well, I guess. Or maybe I'm just getting slower as I get older. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors started training camp yesterday. And I was reading Marcus Thompson. He wrote a piece in The Athletic. And it was mostly about Curry and you know, what could happen this season. And he had a list of about 10 bullet points of, you know, important themes to the season. And up fairly high was a name that surprised me. Because you don't see the name written very much. And the name was Rick Celebrini. Rick Celebrini. You guys know who he is? He's the Warriors' Director of Sports Medicine and Performance. And by the way, the reason I answered for myself there, Dibs, was because I was afraid maybe you didn't know, and then I was inadvertently making you look bad. And I didn't want to do that.
This is the Matt Steinmetz Show here on 95.7 The Game. Up in 15 minutes, perhaps I get a chance to answer a question that was asked of me. But go ahead, Steiny.
So Rick Celebrini, I also have the dual role of trying to set it up for people that don't know what we're talking about here.
Sure.
Plus, you only had 4 minutes to get ready for this segment. I don't know how you're doing this. This is incredible.
I don't know how you could have ripped off Marcus Thompson like this in just 4 minutes and gotten a muffin and answered nature's call. You truly are remarkable.
See, this is where, I mean, I'm not annoyed, but there always is an uncertainty of, okay, like, let these guys finish making a D out of you. Like, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I don't want to, if you guys are going to roll, I don't want to interrupt you making a D out of me. So if there's a little pause after you're done making a D out of me, just know that it was out of goodwill toward wanting you guys to finish making a D out of me.
If you really
I'll never be
show,
done.
Yeah,
really I don't want to speak shows. For Whitey, but... If it was Karen Carpenter who said it first, we've only just begun, then so be it. Yes.
Yeah. All I know is I feel cheated because you said, I'll tell you who my NBA comp is next. And then all I'm getting is, it's
Rick Celebrini.
And,
yeah, that's a problem. Got,
maybe that's his comp, Whitey. Rick Celebrini is his NBA comp. Hello.
You know, I thought about my comp during the break. And what I realized was I'm not coming up with a comp for myself. You know why?
Why?
People know my game in the Bay Area. There are plenty of people out there that saw my game on the streets of Moscone Playground. There are plenty of people that have seen my game, you know, at the Castro Street Gym, for example, the Day Street Gym, for example, State Street, a legend.
Yeah. Dibs, the so name I keep hearing is
somebody
Kirk
else can call
that's,
in.
I keep hearing Steiny is Kirk Heinrich. I don't know
it's
if that's
not a bad call.
It is good. Neither interested nor that capable in defense, but both.
What are
you,
crazy? Kirk Heinrich, that's where the comparison falls apart. But Kirk Heinrich was a great defender.
Gotcha.
I wasn't. So that's where it falls apart. All right. Can I talk about Rick Celebrini?
We have no interest in what's going on with you.
Well played.
Hey, Whitey, you've hosted shows in the past. You want to just take over right now? Just not for the rest of the show, but maybe for the next 6 minutes.
No, I don't, because I don't have any. I don't have the Marcus Thompson material in front of me, and I know that's
I don't either.
Nor do you have a muffin with just a dollop of cream cheese.
I have my notebook in front of me, guys, which
that's
what I work off of.
And I'm not sure where we're going with Mr. Celebrini, so I don't think I'd be able to grab the wheel right now. I'm not sure where
I actually could take the wheel, Steiny, if you wanted to attend to the nooks and crannies of that deliciously toasted, lightly toasted English muffin. Where he's going, Whitey, is that Rick Celebrini's role as the director of sports medicine and fitness is critical for Steph Curry as he continues to try to become a 72-game-a-season player, which we know no one's going to play every game, but Celebrini playing a critical role in Steph Curry's health and wellness vis-a-vis then leading to the health and wellness of the team as well.
Well, that's a great point, but I think you're wrong about the English muffin because I don't believe it was toasted at all. You said lightly toasted. I believe that was Steiny's main complaint. He didn't have time to toast it at all.
No, I believe he did have time to toast it, but he didn't get it to the toastification specifications that he's normally used to. Now, he didn't take this opportunity to have any bites, so here is the host of our show, Matt Steinmetz.
You know what is unbelievable, guys? Let me tell you what's unbelievable. We can talk about the 49ers. For 38 straight minutes. And then we'll get off the 49ers for 28 seconds. And everyone's like, oh, let's get back to the Niners. But you start making a D out of me, and all of a sudden, nobody's saying, let's get back to the Niners.
Back to the Niners.
Thank you.
Well, there's one. And
after
I don't
6 minutes of absolute artillery fire from you guys.
I don't believe that we are making a diva out of you. That, you know, we're just highlighting your need for some alone time during the break, a well-toasted muffin, and your desire to answer your own questions. I don't think that's making a diva out of you.
I just compared you to Kirk Heinrich. I thought it was a compliment.
Let me tell you what we're going to embark on for the first time in history is I'm going to use the same tease for two consecutive segments because we will not have gotten to the tease the first time. I was thinking Sam Cassell a little bit too, Whitey.
Nice.
Rick Celebrini, director of sports medicine and performance. Dibs had a part of it right, but I didn't know that they looked at stats this way, but according to Marcus Thompson, there's a site called SportTrack, and the Warriors last year lost 257 games to injury, and they did the math, and that essentially equated to $66 million in salary.
Wow.
And I had never really looked at that injuries in that manner, but it's a pretty fair way to look at it, and it can be pretty harsh. And what Marcus was saying was, you know, Rick Celebrini took over for Chelsea, Chelsea Lane? No.
Chelsea Lane, not Chelsea Handler. Chelsea Lane.
Yeah, Chelsea Lane in Atlanta in 2018. And whether it's bad luck or just happenstance, you know, Durant and Clay and Steph last year, and then Clay this year. I mean, they're already off to a bad start on this year, guys. So he was just saying that, you know, Celebrini's got a lot of work to do this year.
And that's a fair point. And the Steph injury was so freakish that, oh, that's on you, Celebrini. You got to teach your guys not to get fallen upon when their hand is on the floor. And the Achilles is the same thing. We've talked about it, Whitey. All of us, as aging individuals, your Achilles is somewhat of a ticking time bomb as a human being, let alone a high-trained, well-established athlete. And there's only so much you can do to strengthen the surrounding area. Those injuries just happen, and it's total happenstance.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, as far as Celebrini goes, you know, there's evidence to suggest that Clay, his injury may have been in part caused by, you know, the ACL injury. If you get your gait gets out of whack, we don't know that, but that's possible. The key, though, is Steph's got to play a lot of games this year, right, Steiny? If Steph is down or out, maybe he's not down, but maybe he's out for an extended period, that would be a real, real issue for this team this year.
Yeah, there's a magic number out there somewhere, guys, of games, Curry, and I think to a lesser extent, Draymond have to play for the Warriors to be successful. You know what? I'd be interested to hear what your number is on the other side of that of the break. And also, you know, we've talked a lot about James Wiseman, the expectations on James Wiseman. We've talked about what we think he may or may not do. What does Steph Curry think that he may do his rookie year? That's what we'll talk about next, and we'll hear from Steph Curry. And that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromise.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.